We're on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and we're more than halfway down the Amud, and we got to Amar Rabbi Lazar. And this is right near that little diagram that Rashi has. And you'll see that the first letters in that line are Dalid Reish Nun, the Rabbi Nachman. Anyway, we're up to Omer Rabbi Lazar, Hazorek Lebena Biros, Lebena Pasea Biros, Chayef. Imagine a person is standing in Rishus HaRabim, and he throws something into the area that we designated by the Pasim, and obviously he's going to be Chayef in such a case, because the whole purpose of the Pasim was to set a Rishus HaYochid between the Pasim, so that he could draw water from the well. The well, we said, was Rishus HaYochid, and this well is in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, and we have to allow for a certain area for the cows, the 8 cows, whatever it is, to drink from the water. So we draw the water, and this area around the well is Rishus HaYochid, which he accomplished by setting up these Pasim. So the Gemara says, Pshita, what did Rabbi Lezer have to... What Rabbi Lazar have to teach us? Ilav mechitza, if you don't consider the pasim as a mechitza, and the Torah doesn't recognize it, then hechi mishterei leila malos, what would possibly be the permission that the Chachamim gave him to draw the water out of the well? After all, the well is in Rishus Rabbim. It must be, by definition, the whole premise that underlies the enterprise of Pasei Biros is that area is designated by Machitzos as Rishus HaYochid. Lo tzricha, why do I need the Chiddush of Rabbi Lazar, the Ovid Ke'en Pasei Biros Rishus HaRabim? We're talking about a case where there is no well. He just imitated, in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, the 4 Diyumodim of Pasei Biros, Vizark Letocha, Chayef. Now, again, you could have argued that, and we had a long discussion about this in the last year, that the whole reason why the Chachamim allowed you to use this fallback method of creating mechitzas, where it's open on all sides and it's parts meruba and so forth and so on, is because of the well. If there's no well, right, we spoke about a well that dries up on Shabbos and so forth, then the Rabbanu wouldn't have made that takana, you know, that get away with the bare minimum. But nevertheless, on a Doraisa level, for sure it's a Rishus HaYochid, where there's a well there or there's no well there, you know, either the Mechitzas are on a Doraisa level. So the Gemara says, Ha'nami Pshita. He loved to be Alma Mechitza, he got to be Bar Heich Mishterei Leile Taltale. If the Rabbanu can't create a Rishus HaYochid, which is not a Rishus HaYochid, if they're allowing you to draw water from the well, it must be because the Torah recognizes this as a Rishus HaYochid. And if it's not a Rishus HaYochid in a case where you have these pasim and there's no well, then it wouldn't be a Rishus HaYochid even if he has a well. I mean, the well itself is not on a deraisa level relevant to the status of the mechitzos and the areas of Rishus HaYochid. So once again, we're trying to figure out what the Chiddush of Rabbi Lazar is. So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, why do I need Rabbi Lazar? Afal gav deka bekiye, deka bakei ba rabim. Oh. So now, we get into the following discussion. And that is, when you have imaginary mechitzos, for example, you can have pi tikri yored v'sosem that's coming down from the top, or, you know, we discussed, this was in Masechet Shabbos, you have something called godoches mechitzos, where you have a boat that comes to a narrow bottom, and on the bottom of the boat, it's less than 4 tefachim. So the question was, can we take the mechitzas from the top, where there's more than 4 tefachim width, and bring it down? So in all these cases where you have go to Achis Mechitza, go to Achis Mechitza. You always have to deal with another issue, which is called Baki Bey. Now, Baki Bey can refer to people, human beings, that go through the imaginary Mechitzas. They don't see the Mechitzas. They walk right through it. It could refer to Gideon Bokimbo, you know, small goats that'll break through if it's less than 3 Tvachim of airspace. Or, I should say, 3 Tvachim of airspace. And now the question is, does the Baki Bey Rabim, you know, you have an area that because of these pasim is designated as Rishus HaYochid because of these imaginary mechitzas, and now you're telling me that it's in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. So the whole flow of traffic of the highway, you know, it's in the middle of a highway, so to speak. So it's very nice that you have a... you know, on each side of 4 sides, you have this pass that goes, you know, it's let's say 10 tefachim high and one amma wide and so forth. So, but you know, that doesn't stop the rabbim. You know, the rabbim are just passing right through, breaking right through, and therefore I might think, what, Michael Bashman, what is Rabbi Elazar, what is he coming to be mechadish? Delo asu rabim umevatle mechitza. I would have thought that asi rabim umevatle mechitza. And if the rabim pass through this open area through between the dimyodim, that would undermine the status of mechitza. And the Torah recognizes the mechitza because it sets apart a certain area. But this area here in Pasim is not set aside. It's not set apart. You know, it's not enclosed. So the Gemara says, Ha'om Rabbi Elazar Chadazimna. The only problem I have is that if Rabbi Elazar is coming to Mechadish that Lo Asi Rabim Vatli Mechitza, then Chadazimna, we've heard it already from him once before in a different context, why does he feel compelled to repeat himself? Tisnan, we had a Mishnah with regard to Heter Pasim. Oh no, we didn't get to this yet actually. This is a Mishnah later on in our chapter. And it records a machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regard to the Heter Pasim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer M'hoisa Derech Rishus HaRabim Mafsekosan. If the rabbim flow, the traffic of the rabbim flows right through the dumadim, is yisalkena. You must somehow move the rabbim to go on the sides. You understand what I mean? Maybe put up signs or you know, put set up a shomer there. You're going to have to make sure that the rabbim don't go through the bein apasim, which means that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that the flow of the traffic flow of the rabbim is going to undermine the mechitzos. But chachamim mein tzarech. According to chachamim, you don't have to do that. I don't care where the rabbim travel. Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, Rav Mitravayu, they both agree that kan hodiachacha kochan shel mechitzos. The chachamim here are really, you know, pressing home to us how powerful are the legal halachic, you know, is the legal halachic status of mechitza that we can rely on a mechitza, even though the rabbim are bokimbo. So we see clearly that the chachamim, and we accept the sheet of the chachamim, they don't require that we divert the traffic in another way, because there's no halacha here that rabbim bokimbo. On the contrary, the chachamim use pasei biros as an example of how far and powerful and authoritative is the halachic definition of a mechitza. So why did Rabbi Elazar have to repeat himself again? If we only had the comment of Rabbi Elazar on that Mishnah, I would have thought that when they say kan, velo svirale, No, they never said that we pask in that way. They just wanted to demonstrate that how far the Chachamim sheet against Rabbi Yehuda would go. That I want to teach you how far the Koach of Mechitza is. But he himself, Rabbi Loza, didn't necessarily accept the sheet of the Chachamim. Kamash Malon, that's what Rabbi Loza wanted to say here. That if somebody stands in Rishon Rabbim and throws something between the Pasei Biros, he's Chayev. Even though it's Rabbim Bokimbo. And now we know that the Kan means Kanu Svirle, that this is the Koach of the Mechitza, and I, Rabbi Lazar, accept that sheet of the Chachamim. So the Gemara is a little bit unhappy about this. V'lema ha v'lo boy hach. In other words, if Rabbi Lazar would have simply told me that if you throw something from a Rishus HaRavim into Bein HaPasim, you'll be Chai V'chatos, he wouldn't have to tell me, Kan odiach ha-kochon shel mechitzos. Right here, in this comment, attached to our sugya of Pasei Biros, we already have in Rabbi Loza's statement an indication of how far the koach of a mechitza is. Because Hazorik Lepein Pasei Biros, even though it's Rabin Bokimbo, nevertheless Yechayah. So that should have been enough. He didn't have to repeat himself and, you know, be his pilus, you know, based on the Chachomim. That it's really true. Rabbi Loza did not repeat himself. It was the Talmidim, his disciples, who repeated him. Rabbi Loza made the statement that if you throw something from Rosh Hashanah to Bein HaPasim, you're chayav. And the Talmidim derived the conclusion that Rabbi Loza on the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Rabbi Bokimbo, would say, Kan lo diacha kochan shel mechitzas. Okay, the Mishnah says that mutar lahakriv lebe'er, right? So these pasim could have a distance, one from the other, of 10 amos, according to Rabbi Meir, 13 and a third, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But let's say you want to put the pasim closer together and designate a smaller area as a Rishus HaYochid through the Pasim, around the well, that's fine, but one condition has to be met, that it's Para Rosha Veruba Bifnim, that most of the cow, its head and its body, is inside this smaller area. And now the Gemara is going to vacillate about the following issue, the Behema that's standing in Rishus HaRabim and wants to drink, and you want it to drink in, obviously, in the Rishus HaYochid, and it has to enter into this area, Rishus HaYochid, Rosho Veruba. Is it possible that maybe under certain circumstances we can give the animal to drink even if the animal is outside of this small area, which is Rishus HaYochid? I'll give you an example. Let's say the animal is drinking from an avus in Hebrew. I don't know how to pronounce it in English. I think it's called a trough. A T-R-O-U-G-H, I think. If not, you know, it's a kind of a receptacle that's rectangular, very long. And they used to, you know, the cow would be in its corral or wherever it is, and then they would pour, you know, water inside in order to for the cow to drink, or maybe they would pour stalks how do you say kash in English, of straw, if the animal eats straw, whatever they would put it inside. So maybe the cow is outside, and who cares where the cow is? You know, I can feed the cow inside the Bein HaPasim. So let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara in the last perek of Erevin says, Tanan Osan is a Mishnah de Elo Yamad Odom Shus HaRabim V'yishte B'Rishus HaYochid, or the reverse. So he's located in one Rishus. he extends his neck into another rishus to drink in the other rishus. And the Mishnah says that's prohibited. Why? Because we're always afraid that he might stand up. You know, he's bent down, and he should be realizing that he has to remain bent down because he's not allowed to take the water out. But you know what? He might stand up. Now imagine the water is inside a utensil. So then when he stands up and straightens his back, he is now in effect violating an Iser Meleches Otsa Doraisa, because he's carrying this utensil from one rishus to the other. Well, Ellen Cain, but under what circumstances does the Mishnah allow it? If it's Machnis Rosho Verubo Lemakom Shushose, if he extends his, not just his head to drink from the other rishus, but also most of his body, that's going to give him a memory device, so to speak. That's going to force him to remember that he's not allowed to straighten out his body, because he realizes that he's doing an acrobatic act, so to speak, which is very challenging, and he's leaning over to the other rishus with most of his body. And that's going to be a memory device that'll trigger off his concern that he shouldn't straighten out his body. And now we're going to look at the first two words on Chaf Amud Beis. V'chein begas. Now, the gas, which again, I'm sure, Don, you've probably seen it many, many times on your various trips. You go to the Binyamin area here, and you'll see that's where they take the grapes and they crush the grapes. They had a whole gas. You know, that's where, in Hebrew, it's called Makom Drichat Hanavim. Okay. Now, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Masros which raises the following question. Before Maser is separated, that's called Tevel. You're not allowed to drink or eat anything that hasn't been tithed, as we call it in English. However, we are going to allow you to eat or drink in what's called a derech aroi, a shtias aroi, because tevel is only chal with what's called a shtias keva. So for the sake of drinking what's called a shtias aroi, which is on a temporary basis, then you're not chayv in maser. Because maser requires what's called nigmara malachto. Nigmara malachto means that you've done everything that you have to do, and once you've gotten to that point of nigmara malachto, let's say you reap the grains, and you remove the husk from the grains. And then there's still parts that have to be removed, so you winnow it up in the air. That's called meruach. And you haven't done the actual gemar malacha yet. The final gemar malacha is going to take place later when you gather together all the grains and you pack them together in what's called a kri. And even then, you have to take it into the house. So there are many, many different parts of the process until you reach what's called gemar malacha. So right now, before Gemar Malacha, what's permissible is an Achilas Aroi, or in the case of Shtias Aroi. Okay. Now, he took his grapes to the press, and after the grapes were pressed in the grape press, he's got wine. The wine is collected in various kinds of barrels, and he wants to take a drink of the wine. And he hasn't yet been mafresh maser. So that drinking at that point is called a shtias aroi. Okay? And a shtias aroi is not considered a shtia, it's not drinking, and he's potter from maser. Now, let's just add one little point, which Rashi goes out of his way to point out here. is that the wine, after it's been pressed, that fresh wine is not really drinkable. It's very concentrated. So Rashi says he's even allowed to add water to dilute the wine and drink it, but only as long as he's in the gas. He's in this wine press. The very moment he takes the wine out of the press, then it becomes a shtias keva, it becomes a more permanent kind of drinking, and he's chayav v'maser. And then he's not allowed to drink it because it's tevel, he hasn't yet set aside the maser. Now what happens, you have this structure which is called a gas, inside they have those press, you've seen it, right, with the round piece and the thing and the stick, you go round and round. Anyway, so what happens if the person himself, is outside the gas, but he sticks his head into this little structure, which is called the gas, and he drinks the wine? Well, technically he's drinking inside the gas, and therefore, it is a shtias aroy, it's a temporary kind of drinking, and it's mutter. However, what we always have to be afraid of is that once he is allowed to put his head inside the gas, he might be tempted to take his head outside the gas and drink it and swallow it when he's outside the gas. That's already prohibited under the law of shtias keva, which means he's chayv and maser, and now it's tevel. So the chen begas, these two words which appear on the top of the page, they are written in that Mishnah at the end of Masechta Erevin to make an analogy between Meleches Hotzah and Shtias Aroy versus Shtias Keva. That just like in Meleches Hotzah, when you're drinking and your feet are located in one place and your head in another place, one Rishus to another Rishus, you have to be very careful about taking your head back and drinking in the place, the Rishus, where your feet are. And here we're going to distinguish between two scenarios. If it's only a head that's going into the other Rishus, we're going to prohibit it. If it's your head and most of your body, then we'll permit it. The same parallel regulations apply now to drinking the wine in the gas before they took off maser. If your head is in the gas and your feet are outside the gas, it's prohibited. We're, afraid that he's going to pull the wine out. But if we require of him to put his head and his body, you know, and do this, I called it an acrobatic act, you know, bending all the way in to the gas, then it's permissible. Now the Gemara wants to know, Gabi Adam, if a person is standing in one Rishus and he's drinking in another Rishus, Ha'amar, you've already established in this Mishnah that the boy, we require Rosh HaVeruba. We're not going to let him drink from a different Rishus where his feet are unless it's Rosh HaVeruba. Gabi Para, but what's the deal in the case of a Para? The Para is standing out in Rishus Harab. She wants to drink Bein HaPasim in the Rishus HaYochid. So that, let's say I'm drawing water from a well into the Bein HaPasim. My cow is standing outside the Rishus HaYochid in the Rishus HaRabim, sticking its head in. Mi Be'ina La Rosh HaVeruba. Olo, shall we say it's enough that the animal's head is inside? Or do we need Rosh HaVeruba? Could be that in a human being, with regard to an Adam, when he's drinking, we have to be afraid that he drinks from a utensil. And, you know, if you don't make sure that he knows and he's aware, then he may inadvertently carry this utensil back to where his feet are. And that's a Meleches Hotzah. But a person who's giving, in this case, drink to his animal, then what is the terrible catastrophe if the animal, in fact, draws its head back into Rishus HaRabim? So therefore, in the case of the animal, as long as I am able to feed the animal its drink, I'm holding a pail of water that I drew from the well, and the animal's head is inside the Rishus HaYochid. I never left the Rishus HaYochid with this pail. If the animal decides to drink and then, swallow the water or whatever, I'm giving it outside in Rishus HaRabim, that's the cow's headache. That's not my headache. O Dilma, or shall we say that even here we have to be choshesh, because what's happening? The man, the human being, is giving drink to his cow with a pail of water, which he drew from the well. And if the animal starts pulling itself back, then the human being who's holding on to the pail of water, he's going to stretch the pail out to the animal, out in Rishus HaRabim, and he's standing in Rishus HaYochid. Now, this is the general suffix of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to whittle it down to more specifics. Kol Heicha Dekanokat Mona Below Nokit La Loti Boilcha Devade Boy Rosha Varuba Milagav Kiti Boilcha, etc. So right now the Gemara clears the path. If the case is that the person is holding on to this utensil and the cow is drinking from this utensil, and the person is not holding on la, he's Nokit Mona, he's holding on to the pail, but he's not holding on la to her, meaning to the animal. So the animal is a free agent, and he's holding on to the pail. In such a case, I have no question. For sure, this is going to be prohibited unless the cow is inside the Bein HaPasim, which means Rosh HaVeruba. But Kiti Bar Lecha, what's my suffix? Hecha denokit manavid nokit la. If he's not only holding on to the pail, let's say in one hand he's holding on to the pail of water, and in the other hand he's holding on to what's called the afsar. The afsar is the straps around its neck. So he's definitely controlling the animal. And by holding on to the animal, he's going to make sure that the animal drinks from the pail inside the Bein HaPasim. My, what do we say about this case? Amale. Wait a minute, who is talking to whom? Do we have any names here? I'm just going to Amale. No, I don't know. I lost the name over here. Does anybody remember that? Do we have a name here attached? Oh, I don't know. So the Gemara tries to answer the question by saying Tnisuha. We have a Mishnah. Now this Mishnah we learned at the beginning of our Perek in regard to Lahakrivis HaPasim, right? He wants to shorten the area around the well. And it says mutter. He's allowed to bring it as long as bilvad on the condition te'apar rosha verufa vifnim vishosa. It means that he has to guarantee that most of the cow is inside the Bein HaPasim. Yeah, okay, fine. That could be because he's not holding on to the cow. He's only holding on to the pail. My love did knock it lay and knock it mono. We can assume that the Mishnah is making a blanket statement and a requirement of Rosh HaVeruba, even if he's holding on to the cow. So Mar says, "Lo, I could deflect that proof. Why? The Nakit Mar of a Lo Nakit Lo. When the Mishnah requires." Okay, so the Gemara says that we can differentiate between the two. Our Mishnah requires Rosh HaVeruba Bifnim, because he's not holding on to the cow. He's only holding on to the pail. So the Gemara has to find Kasha. V'chi nokit mana v'lo nokit la mishari. You're assuming that if you have Rosh HaVeruba, the cow, inside the Bein HaPasim. He's holding on to the pail, and he's not holding on to the cow itself, and he's allowed to hold on to the pail and give drink to the Parah while he's holding on to the pail within the Bein HaPasim, even though he's not holding on to the cow. And the Gemara says, is it really so that we're going to allow him to do that, simply because the cow is mostly inside the Bein HaPasim? Vasanya, we have a Braisa. Again, we didn't get up to this Braisa yet, but anyway, it says in the Braisa, Lo Yamale Odomayin, V'yitain B'Shabbos Lifnei Behemto. A person is not allowed to fill up water in a pail on Shabbos and place it in front of the animal by holding the kli in his hand while she's drinking. That's prohibited. And we'll see in a minute why. Avol mimale hu v'shofech v'shosame leha. But what we're going to allow is that he can fill up the pail with water and put the water in front of her, and she'll drink. But it means that in this situation, where he's not holding on to the cow, and if he's holding on to the pail, he's not allowed to hold on to the pail so that she'll drink from the pail. And this is the situation even when most of the cow is inside. So again, if he is taking the pail and pouring it, or just simply laying it down for the cow to drink from, then he's allowed. That's permissible. But to fill up the pail and hold on to the pail, and the cow is Rosha Verubo inside the Bein HaPasim, and he's not holding on to the cow, that's prohibited. So therefore, in the light of this Braisa, it's impossible to say when the Mishnah permits holding on to the pail and giving the cow to drink because it's Rosh Reuben inside, that he's not holding on to the cow. The only way we can somehow justify the permissibility of this principle, of this rule in our Mishnah, it must be by process of elimination that if he's holding on to the pail, he's got to be holding on to the animal as well. Again, if he's not holding on to the pail, that's fine. If, on the other hand, you know, he, let's say, he pours the water in such a way into a receptacle or in the pail, and he puts it down, and he's no longer holding the pail, and the animal will drink on its own, that's fine. But in our Mishnah, we said that he's holding on to the pail, and the Mishnah allows it when it's Rosh HaVeruba Bifnim. There's no way of reconciling that with the Brice unless we assume that he's holding on to the animal. And if he's holding on to the animal, we don't have to be afraid that he might take the pail out of the Bein HaPasim into the Rosh HaRabim. So the Gemara rejects this. And the Gemara says, no, we need Rosh HaVeruba Bein HaPasim, and he's holding on to the pail, he's not holding on to the cow, and he's allowed to give water to the cow to drink while he's holding the pail, even because it's Rosh HaVeruba Bifnim. The Braisa says that if he's not holding on to the cow, you're not allowed to give the animal to drink unless you put down the pail. Itmar Lo, we have a statement of Abai to clarify the Braisa. Hacha in the Braisa, we're not talking about an animal that's standing in Rishus HaRabin, and it enters with Rosh HaVeruba Bein HaPasim. That's not the case. Right? We thought that the Braisa is addressing a scenario in which, let's say, the hind feet, the hind legs of the cow are in Rosh HaRabim, and most of the cow's body, including its head, is Bein HaPasim. No, no, no. What's the Braisa talking about? The animal is inside his house. And he's got, I wouldn't say his house, but, you know, a house that's made for cows, right? And it's got open windows that open into a Rosh HaRabim, and now he puts in front of the cow avus, which again, I don't know how to pronounce it in English. I never knew how to pronounce it. It's called a troth. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Anyway, avus means this receptacle. I actually have a little bit of a diagram of it. And he pours the water into this receptacle. It's a long, rectangular thing. So the animal is inside this pen or corral, whatever you want to call it. And it now is drinking from the avus. The avus is in Rishus Harabim, okay? And as we said, there's open space in the windows of the house so the cow could stick its head out and drink from the avus. And Gavoa Asar Tvachim V'Rochav Arba. Now the status of the avus is that of a Rishus HaYochid. Why is that so? Because it's 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim wide. Okay, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us. That's very likely that would be. And now the owner of the cow wants to put, straw or other kinds of fodder into the avus. And that's fine, because he himself is standing in Rishus HaYochid. The avus itself is Rishus HaYochid. The cow now sticks its head out through the window and bends down its head into the avus and starts eating. And what's the case? Rosho Echad Nichnas Lebein HaPasim. In other words, he's talking now about the avus. Right, the avus itself, at least at the head of the avus, meaning towards the well, if you follow what I mean, where the man is standing, is inside the Bein HaPasim. Oh. So now, what's the deal? He draws water from the well, he lifts up the pail, and it's on top of the Rosh HaAvus, right, that part of the avus on this side, further from the cow, but closer to the well. And now what's going to happen is that Yelech Derech Rishisaram Yetlenu Es Hadli Me'al Havus La'anicho Lefnei Behemto, that this is not a good situation. Why? Because although it's true that when he lifts up the pail and the Rosh HaVus is located inside the Bein HaPasim, then in effect he's taken water from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid. But what we have to be afraid of is that since his animal, the cow, is at a distance inside the house. Now, watch what happens. It's very hard to describe this in words, so I don't know if you watch my face and my hands, maybe it'll be clear. You've got one area which is around the well. You've got a Rishus HaRavim outside that area, and then, as you go towards the left, you have a house where the cow is. And the fear now is that instead of taking the pail when he draws the water out of the well and pouring it into the Rosh HaAvus, which is located Bein HaPasim, since the cow is in the house, its pen, we'll call it, he's going to have to carry the pail over Rishus HaRavim if he wants to give it to the cow. Again, if he would pour all the water from the pail right into the Rosh HaAvus, which is located Bein HaPasim, that would be fine. But what we're afraid of is he might want to walk over to the cow. And if he walks over to the cow holding the pail, then he's going to take the pail out into Rishus HaRavim. Watch it. The Avus will say, I'm just throwing out a number here, is five amos long. So what he wants to do is, he wants to stretch his hand towards the cow with the pail of water in it, and he's got a problem. Because although the first Amma of the Rosh Havos is in the Bein HaPasim and the Rishus HaYochid, the other four Ammas are in Rishus HaRabim. The cow is in Rishus HaYochid. So the cow now is going to get the water because he's going to stretch his hand out towards the cow. And therefore, we're not going to allow this. Now, he adds a sentence here, which I'm going to read. He says, V'afal gav de v'alma mutal yodam lamad v'shus harabim v'taltil v'shus hayochid. Okay, this is more sophisticated. Maybe we'll... I don't think we need that right now. But anyway, so why is this prohibited? Gzeira, we're afraid, dilma chazi le'lavus de mekalkel, v'osi le'tekune, v'darach le'lidavla ba'adei, v'komapik m'rishus hayochid l'rishus harabim. So the Gemara now gives us a very serious reason, the scenario is such, and the fear is such, that he will actually carry the Dli across, you know, the Bein HaPasim, not just because, as I said, in his eagerness to feed the cow, because I guess from that perspective all he has to do is pour the water or whatever he has into the Rosh HaVus and the water will flow down. He doesn't have to worry about that. That's not our gzera. But what are we afraid of? We're afraid that Chazi le'lavus de'mekalkel. In other words, while he's interested in pouring the pail into the Rosh HaVus, he's going to see that Rosh HaVus mekulkal the osilit kune. Now, I'm not sure exactly what is the problem with this. With this avus, let me just see if by chance he adds anything here. Just one second, I'm on the wrong page. Give me a second. Okay. He says the following. He's holding on to the pail. He's not holding on to the animal. Oh, he also used the word troth. T-R-O-U-G-H. So the troth stands in Rishus HaRabim. Right, he doesn't mention here that the Rosh HaAvus is in the Bein HaPasim. Okay, fine. And Gavoa Sora Tfachim Merochav Arba Tfachim. That makes the troth into Rishus HaYochid. And one the end of the troth extends into the area within the boards. Oh, so he does mention that, okay.
It's footnote 8, is a diagram.
Yeah, but let me just read the text and then we'll get to the diagram. He says, the brisa should be understood as follows. A person may not... I don't need his diagram, I got a colored diagram. Okay. The brisa should be understood as follows. A person may not fill a container from the well, hold it over the end of the troth nearest the well, which again should be perfectly permissible, and then walk back to his animal standing at the far end while carrying the container over the top of the trough. Alright, I don't understand. Again, I'm not blaming him for this. It's my problem, not his, but I'm not sure why we assume he would do such a thing. Maybe just let's tell him to be careful and pour the water on the top of the trough. But anyway, he's assuming that that's not how you feed your cow, but rather you walk to the animal, and in doing so, he's passing through Rosh Hashanah. Let's see if he points it out in the note. The trough is Rishus HaYochid. One would stand in Rishus HaRabim and move objects in Rishus HaYochid. I don't understand. Who's standing in Rishus HaRabim over here? The animal is standing in Rishus HaRabim. Or... Alright, that point I still don't have. Anyway, so he walks back to the animal, standing at the far end while carrying the container. Ah, so he's walking on the side of the trough, of this avus, towards the animal. So it's not like I said, let him just pour the water into the trough and the water will flow down to the animal. No, he's carrying the pail all the way to the animal. Now, I can't begin to understand why that should be permissible. He's standing in Rosh HaYochid and he's going into Rosh HaRav. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, he's only permitted to pour the water from the container, into the end of the trough. Gzera, okay, why? Precautionary decree. Dilma, what are we afraid of? Chazi le'lavus de mekalkel. He sees that the trough is defective. Again, why that should be, I don't know.
My fear is that if he sees that there's a problem, he's going to put the pail down now in Rishus HaRabim to fix it.
I don't know. I'll tell you what he says here, Steve. You can write your own commentary. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But just to read him, he says, he takes the bucket with him when he goes to fix the trough. Steve, let me just make one comment. To the best of my knowledge, you're not allowed to pick up something in Rosh HaYochid and take it into Rosh HaRabim. Whether you put it down or not, that has to do with the Chiyuv Chatos. But as far as allowing you, so I'm not sure if we have to assume he's going to put the pail down in Rosh HaRabim. I don't know. He just says, Vidarale Lidavya Bade. Okay, he's going to take the bucket with him. So once he takes the bucket with him, I thought he's taking the bucket with him to drink the animal. I don't know how you say drink in causative, to cause the animal to drink. But the Gemara is not operating with that. The Gemara is operating with the fact that he has to fix the trough because it became defective, and he forgets, I better put the pail down Beina Pasim, because as soon as I leave Beina Pasim, I've carried it into Rosh HaRabim, but we're afraid that he's going to carry it, the pail, into Rosh HaRabim in order... In other words, again, if you weren't worried about a defective kilkul in the avus, then he would just simply remain Beina Pasim, pour the water in, which the Rosh HaAvus is in Beina Pasim. He never left the Rosh HaYochid, not with the pail, not with the water, not with the cow, not with anything, and everything is fine. But the problem is, says the Gemara, that why is he tempted to take the pail all the way into, that direction, which, again, beyond the Beina Pasim, because the trough is defective. So the Gemara is going to now challenge that. V'chi ha'gavna mi mechayev. Would he be chayev in such a case? That you made a gzera, you have to tell me that he might come to do a chiyuv, violate a biblical prohibition. Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hamafanach hafotzim yisovis lezovis, nechalem votziyom potur. You see, this is what I was telling you before, that you don't have to put it down in order to violate an Isur. You have to put it down in order to be chayav. But if you take something if you take something without putting it down, then you're potter. And that's called Shalo Hoysakira Mishar Rishon Lekach.
Situation wherein the cow is sticking his head out of the enclosure, out of the house, or whatever you want to call it, across the Rishus HaRabin into the area to put his head in the trough. Actually, the trough is actually in Rishus HaRabin. If he pulls
Correct.
It back and follows, there's no Issa, right?
No, that's not a problem. Yeah, we're not worried about the cow. Okay. Cow, horse.